Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Digital High Podcast. This is Donna, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Vince. Hey, Vince.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I would, if you talked to me a week ago, I would have been crying.
Why?
Because of a certain wedding, but
yes.
Now I'm fine.
Yeah, I was traumatized.
Yeah, we texted a little bit.
I know. It's like, Jesus Christ, I'm traumatized.
I forgot what I said exactly, but yeah.
I'm happy to read back your texts if you want, Vince.
Sure. Don't go too far back. We don't want to air our dirty laundry.
Yeah, right. We don't want to let people on.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway, and joining us this week is our TV critic, Jean. Hello, Jean.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
This week, everybody, we're doing a Game of Thrones season 3 show since the season just wrapped up. And that's why we have Jean with us, because she's our TV critic and she's been reviewing the show for us. Jean, can you tell us a little bit about what you do on our site so everybody knows?
I basically do TV reviews. I'm currently reviewing Hannibal. I'm going to start reviewing True Blood next week. And I just wrapped up finishing reviewing Game of Thrones for the season.
Awesome.
Yep. And Hannibal, I kind of marathoned that in the last week because when I first saw it, like the way they advertised it looks really lame. Like you just see him eating at a plate and then it's on NBC. So those two things put together, I thought it would be a lame show, but it's actually really good.
It's very good, as particularly for NBC, who's had an awful time with TV shows.
Yeah, I would say in general, that's probably the best broadcast drama right now, which isn't saying a lot, since most of the good ones are on cable. But all the ones I could think of right now, I would say Hannibal's like the best broadcast drama.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
Yeah, are you into horror and gore and stuff?
I like horror, so.
Okay. It's very gory. It's like, I'm shocked at how much gore they can get away with. It's darker than Dexter and The Following and American Horror Story. It's darker than pretty much any horror TV show, TV show.
I'm not really into gore, but is it about Hannibal Lecter?
Yeah, we're talking about Hannibal too much, I think.
Yeah. But, I mean, I like Hannibal. This is not the Hannibal podcast.
No, screw it down. Screw Game of Thrones.
Well, I've seen Game of Thrones.
Hannibal doesn't have crowd surfing. It's a better show.
I haven't seen Hannibal, but I have seen Game of Thrones. So, I mean, if we switch to Hannibal, I could really skate through this podcast. Anything that makes working with you easier, Vince?
No, we can stick to Game of Thrones. We could talk about your boyfriend.
My boyfriend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mr. Snow.
So, if you guys don't want to know about what happens in season 3 yet, then you're going to get spoiled. So don't listen to it. But if you
and we're not doing any book spoilers.
No book spoilers. Nothing ahead. But we will talk very openly about season 3 of Game of Thrones.
Yep.
So, speaking of Jon Snow, we don't even know if he's going to live or die.
I would say it's pretty clear he's going to live.
Yeah, I think he'll live. Yeah. I do think he'll live, and I have a few reasons why I think that. But they did leave that open.
Yeah,
that's a little cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm. I am curious, Jean. Did you have an overall favorite episode?
I loved the Red Wedding episode. I read all the books. So I was really waiting to see how that would go down. Mm-hmm. But I think probably. Really, anything with Jaime and Brienne was particularly enjoyable this year.
Oh, yeah. That was probably my favorite storyline this season.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten so that Brienne is one of my favorite characters. She's one of my favorite secondary characters, you know.
Yeah, I like her.
Like her, yeah.
It's more about Jaime for me, but yeah, it's interesting that they... And this is what the series is known for. Like even during season 1, they were saying how, you know, you will, characters you hate, you'll start to like, and perhaps vice versa. So it's interesting that, you know, Jaime is somewhat likable and sympathetic, and he's the guy you know, is banging a sister and Joffrey's biological father and push Bran out of a window and paralyzed him. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the thing is that, I think that they're turning Jaime around somewhat, but, and, you know, incest, whatever, you know, I mean, they had a lineage and, whatever.
And it's a personal choice.
And it's a personal choice.
It doesn't affect me. Well, I guess having kids affects Joffrey, but.
Yeah. And you can't tell me inbreeding hasn't fucked that little kid up. the thing that will always get me with Jaime is that he pushed Bran out that window. But
yeah, and was so smug about him. Like we never saw him like, you know, depressed or, you know, sad about it. It's just like he basically like joked, push him. He did tell a joke like rather pushing like the things I do for love or something like that.
That's exactly. So,
but I mean, even in season one, he did have some honor because like when he fights Ned. He could have killed Ned right then and there when one of the Lannister guards spears him in the leg. Like he could have killed Ned then, but he chose not to dirty the fight. So he did always have some honor.
Right. He's more of a gray character than a black and white character now.
Yeah, and I mean that's a lot of characters.
That part of it too is that I think Cersei's influence on him is pretty poisonous for him, and being away from her for so long. Gave him a chance to grow and change and become better. Yeah. But now that he's back with Cersei, who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows? Because she's a grade A bitch. God, I hate that. That's, I mean, she and Joffrey, I mean, you can tell they're friggin' related, right? I mean, the apple trees produce apples, they say.
But she is better than Joffrey. Like, I'm thinking back of season one, like when Ned was about to get beheaded, like everyone, even, well, maybe Littlefinger was just pretending, but, you know, her and Varys, all of these people were like, screaming to Joffrey, no, don't do it. So even she wanted, you know, Ned not to die because she wanted to avoid this war. So I think Joffrey and Walder Frey and Ramsay Snow, obviously, are the top three villains because they actually enjoy, you know, hurting people and enjoy, you know, they find happiness in it. But for Cersei and Tywin, they're more practical.
Right. Yeah. I didn't hear who you said you thought the real villains were. I didn't.
Well, Ramsay Snow, the guy who's torturing Theon.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
He's the bastard.
Yes, the bastard.
All the Snows are all.
That's one fucked up. Yeah, all Snows. All the Snow. The last name Snow is a bastard's name, right?
Well, yeah.
Isn't that
what they get? Yeah. In the north, and what is like sand or something?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Like five different ones.
Yeah. So, he's bad. Joffrey, I still though, Cersei's still bad.
I still kind of get her point of view, though, because like, back in season one, they were painting how she was basically kind of like forced into this marriage, kind of like Sansa was, even though it seemed like she liked Robert at the beginning, but then he became a pig and
I get.
I don't think she's pure evil, like I said before, like Joffrey, like Prey, but
yeah,
she is definitely bad.
She's bad. Don't like her.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard anyone say they like Cersei. Like,
no.
I think people find her interesting, perhaps.
Right.
But I've never heard her on anyone's, top liked list.
Yeah.
I definitely think she's one of the more interesting characters
mm-hmm.
from her perspective as a female character stuck in a man's world. And, her and Brienne are kind of opposites in that regard because they take very different paths to try to get power and strength. So,
right.
From that perspective, I think she's interesting, but she's bad news.
She is bad news.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines was Tywin saying, I forgot what the exact line, but he was basically, I don't trust you to do blah, 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 not because you're a woman, but just because you're not as smart as you think you are, which is really the case, because she thinks she's like this mastermind strategist and stuff like Tyrion is, or even her father, but she can't control her little incest baby, so she's really not as clever as she thinks she is.
No, she's not. The best stuff comes out of Tyrion, I think.
Definitely.
But he's my favorite.
I would say, actually, this season, I thought Tywin over. I mean, obviously on purpose, and just far as like writing and acting, I think Tywin was like the top Lannister as far as my interest goes. I think season two is completely Tyrion. Like, I think I'm actually kind of worried that was Tyrion at his best. Maybe Jean can confirm that since she read all the books. But
I wouldn't worry about that. I wouldn't worry about that.
There's okay. Because, like, this season, he's kind of, and I get what he did, is, like, he's kind of, like, you know, pushed around a little bit. He's a little bit lost. But, like, Tywin and Joffrey scenes, even though it was, what, just two of them, those are, like, really good. And then Tywin, like, verbally beats Tyrion twice. And the scenes, what's the grandma, Tyrell? Oh. I forgot her name.
The Queen of Thorns.
But yeah, like her and Tywin scene was good too. But I mean, I thought she was easily one of the best like new characters.
Yeah, she was.
She's such a phenomenal character.
Is she? Yeah.
Yeah. And,
oh yeah.
And I thought it was weird that they kind of disappear like towards the second half of the season. Like you don't really see any Tyrells after Tyrion's wedding.
Yeah,
they've got a part to play still.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice just TV wise if they had even they're just like walking in the background or something. Like we never see them in the second half of the season.
I think there's a reason why we didn't see them. I don't want to say too much, but I think there's a reason why we haven't seen them yet.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm enjoying some of these more. Like I like Margaery because I think that she pisses off Cersei and she can manipulate Joffrey, so I like her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the women have the power. I like how the women are in this because you know Dany has the power. She's got a lot of power, and she's getting more and more power. And then Margaery is pretty manipulative, and she's going to be with Joffrey. And then the Red Woman,
Melisandre.
Yeah, Melisandre. I thought it was Melisandre, but thank you. Melisandre, yes. So it's kind of a woman's game right now, I think.
Actually, on the Stannis front, I going from like certain threads I read from book readers and stuff like that, it does seem like they're kind of screwing up his character. Because like he just feels like a puppet. Or he almost feels like he's just like naive, stubborn guy. And like Davos is on one corner of his shoulder, and then Mel, whatever, is on the other corner, like the angel and the devil type thing, and we don't know which is which, kind of, because she does have some good points. But it just feels like Stannis is just this blank puppet canvas.
That's something that's kind of bugged me from a book perspective, and I try not to compare the two too much, but, you know, the Stannis in the book, like, the decision at the end of the season to go to the wall and, you know, go take care of the White Walkers and all that. You know, in the book, he makes that decision more from a perspective of, I need to save the realm. I need to do something good. Mm-hmm. And in the show, it seemed more like, hey, she told me to go, so let's go now. And that kind of bugged me because it kind of redeemed his character a bit in the book to make him look like he actually cared about something.
And I find it weird that Stannis is even in his castle. Like, why is maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a book thing and we're going to know later. But it's weird that Tywin is, obviously he was focused on Robb in the north, but why is Tywin not trying to finish off Stannis? And then why is Stannis forgetting about the Lannisters and just focusing on the north as if, like, he doesn't know if they're going to, like, sneak him, tackle him, or, you know, do something. Like, it's like they're just completely not worried about each other anymore.
I think a lot of it is Tywin dealt such a huge blow to Stannis' forces with Blackwater last year that he's not really rebuilt yet. And Stannis had that thing with the leeches. Uh-huh. And by throwing him in the fire, you know, there was a ceremony, I think, to try to kill off the other kings. And we already got one of those kings killed, so why not just assume it's going to happen for everybody else?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just Tywin doesn't seem like the type who would just, like, leave a powerful person like Stannis. We're a supposedly powerful person because we haven't really seen him be powerful at all.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem like someone who would leave that a chance. It seems like he would hire, like, an assassin or something to finish Stannis off. Mm-hmm. And he's not even hiding. Like, Stannis is just chilling in his castle.
True. Very true.
Being pussy whipped by the Red Woman.
Yeah. So would you say that's your like biggest negative from like book to show so far, at least with this season?
My number one biggest pet peeve is what they did with the Theon story.
Okay.
In the book, okay. Theon gets hit over the head at Winterfell, and you don't see him the entire third book. He's just gone. And you think he's dead. You don't know where he is. Mm-hmm. You forget about him. And then he pops back up in the fourth book, I think, maybe, or the fifth, one of them. And he's this completely new character. He's Reek. We were introduced to it in the finale. Right. And, you know, it takes you a while to figure out that it's Theon. And to me, that was one of the biggest shocks of the books, was forgetting about Theon and then realizing he's been broken. And to have them bring that story into this season really felt out of place, and they spent so long on the torture, and it just to a point where it was nuts. And people I knew who hadn't read the books couldn't figure out who was torturing him, why he was being tortured. It just turned into a muddled mess in my point of view.
And I was going to say, like, I don't think it's a big deal even they can figure it out. I don't get what the big mystery is that's Ramsay Snow. Like,
right.
It's not like it's someone we knew. We did hear his name mentioned in the, season two finale, because Bolton says, "I'm sending my bastard to get him." Mm-hmm. But it's not like it's somebody we know. It's not like he was like somebody was wearing a mask and it turns out, you know, it's one of the Lannisters torturing him. It's like some kid we never knew. It's like the guy from Misfits is torturing Theon. Great.
Yeah, I just felt like it went on way too long, and you know, they added stuff in that wasn't really in the story, like the castration.
Yeah, because that's just hinted at in the books, right?
It's hinted at, and they send his finger to his father and sister.
Damn.
Yeah, I think that would have been it was too much screen time there, especially looking back at the season. I wish like Rob and Kat and other people had absorbed that screen time. I would be fine with a couple Theon scenes, like maybe one in the first episode, one in the middle, one in the last episode. But we didn't need to see Theon like that much.
No, mm-hmm. I don't think we did either.
So is that your biggest change? What's your biggest positive change, if there is one?
I kind of liked what they did with Rob's wife. In the book, it's a completely different character. There's no Talisa at all. She's kind of a wallflower character who doesn't say much, and she doesn't get killed in the Red Wedding. She's hiding away in her castle.
And she's not pregnant?
She's not. They think she might be pregnant, but it turns out she's not. So they keep her alive just in case. I liked that you actually cared about what happened to Rob's wife, and that was a big shock for me. There'd been a rumor going around on the internet that she was a Lannister spy, and that it was going to be a huge shock in the Red Wedding, that she was going to reveal herself. So I kind of hoped that was going to be what they did, but it was a huge shock to see her get, you know, stabbed and killed.
Probably one of the worst deaths on TV.
Oh my God.
Ever. Yeah, I was ready for Rob. I was ready for Catelyn's throat to get slit, but I was not ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, let's get the Red Wedding talk out of the way.
Let's get it done.
Yeah. Let's relive this painful memory real quick and jump to something else.
Well, I was behind a few episodes, so when the Red Wedding episode came on, I didn't watch it, of course, because I wanted to catch up, and I kept seeing this crap coming over on my Facebook saying, "Oh my God, what the fuck?" Or, you know, "You guys are going to be, you know, fucked up after watching this." And I'm like, I have got to avoid social media. And I just told my husband, we have to watch these now because I'm going to be completely spoiled if I don't. And so we sat down and watched them. And the thing is that the second that they carried the bride and groom out and they shut that door, I knew shit was bad.
Well, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, we knew that. And it's like, oh, God, what's going to happen?
Because even I knew what was going to happen. And even when I saw, like, the title of episode 9 was The Reigns of Castamere, I was like, oh, man, that's the freaking Red Wedding. And Rob, one of my favorite characters, is going to die. And then when they start playing the song, The Reigns of Castamere, like, I think right before they close the doors. And
yeah, that's the key to start the
Yeah, and that's when, like, the chill went up my spine. I was like, oh shit, it's coming.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was the look Caitlin had about she just saw it all happening from her perspective, and it was just, ugh.
Yeah, she went out though. She went out cool as hell to me. She went out as badass and as, because like I thought her speech was some of like the best acting I've ever seen, and it kind of it captures what like any good mother would do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, she was just so desperate, and then she kills Frey's wife, and she did promise to kill her. So
she said she would. Yeah. She had to.
Yeah.
Yep.
I bet his wife just loved that he said he could get a new one.
Well, yeah.
She probably wasn't surprised. I don't think anyone was surprised. I kind of wish she went for him. But, I mean, even though he's old, I doubt a woman with a butter knife can, you know, take him. So going for the wife was the best shot she had.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I knew something bad was going to happen, and I went into the episode and I didn't know. I mean, I had no clue. I don't know anything about the story, and I'm like, just don't let it be Tyrion. Please don't let it be Tyrion.
Yeah, you told me that when we were texting. I was like, what? He's not even in this episode.
But I didn't know
like,
that.
Are they going to randomly goes to King's Landing and Tyrion's crossing the street and a horse runs him over? Like, how would he die?
No. I'm saying when I first started that, I didn't know what was coming in the episode. I didn't know anything. So okay. When it was starting, I'm like, oh God, I don't know if I want to do this because I'm so petrified that Tyrion's gonna die because he's my favorite. Mm-hmm. So I just that will, I mean, I was traumatized that this happened, but not nearly as upset as if I lose Tyrion.
It was just like what Rob represented, because he was the last traditional hope for the Starks, because like he was the leader after that point. He had an army. His brothers were too young, and Sansa's captured, and Arya's too young, and they probably wouldn't follow a woman anyway, other than not like Ironborn. I doubt anyone would follow Arya, even if she was older. So it's like, Rob was the last traditional hope, and then like see him go out like that, and he never lost a battle, but he, you know, I'm not going to spoil Spartacus, even though it happened, you know, that happened in real life. But it kind of reminds me of Spartacus. Like no one can take out like the top three guys from Spartacus in a fight, and the people, the ones who do die from all the gladiators who do die in Spartacus, they get killed like from the back, or they get killed in sneaky ways. Like Rob never lost a battle. He didn't die in battle. He died at a freaking wedding.
Yep.
So and that does lead me to ponder the future story, you know, and where all this is going to go, because it did seem like the Stark story was sort of running thin. We didn't know what was really going on there. So, you know, this has happened, but now Bran's got these sudden powers that could make him powerful. And now Jon, you know, he's not, you know, he's a Snow, not Stark, but how will this play out in the future of the Stark clan? You know, how will all this play?
Yeah. And Arya's a badass.
And Arya, Arya's like the Brienne of the of the Stark family, so.
And poor Arya just keeps walking down on her family getting killed.
That was a horrible scene, too. Like just and really, I would say, I didn't cry or anything. I'm not sure if either one you cried, but Jane, did you cry?
No, I was kind of excited about the whole thing.
Oh, so. My. Sick person. But anyway, the Grey Wind dying was like the part that almost got me more than anything, as far as like me. That Sunday night, I was like sad. I was a little bit depressed. And it's funny because like the people I know at work, who I know all watch Game of Thrones, they were like just down that whole day. It's like, I'm glad I got over it that night. But like some people I knew were just sad for like 2-3 days afterwards, which is, I mean, that is. You know, I think that's powerful. Like no video games got me sad that long. No other TV shows got me, you know, sad for more than 5 minutes. So I think even though it's sad, I think it does in a way a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I like that about, you know, this story is that you don't know who you're going to lose next, because there's nothing worse than predictability and
Yeah.
I like that about this. You know, he's not afraid to take away the people you love, but that makes it interesting. And as much as I'd like to see someone like Cersei or Joffrey die, I have to have someone I love to hate. So if something happened to Joffrey, you know, first episode of the next season, I might be like, God damn it, I really love to hate him. There'd be something missing.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume just going with the story, they would switch it to someone else. Just kind of like when Ned died, it switched to, you switch more to Rob, and now that Rob's dead, it's going to probably switch more to, well, probably split between like Bran and John. Arya. And I think, I don't know, maybe Jean, you give a vague answer about this, but I actually found the Tyrells likable. I'm not sure. I'm sure they're not like 100% good or, you know, 90% good like the Starks, but I got the feeling that they were overall good people.
Right.
It depends on who you think the bad people are, whether or not the Tyrells are the good people. Or really, the only good person I think in the entire story is probably Sam. I think he's just too lovable to be bad.
I know.
the Tyrells, they're.
I'm sure they seem like opportunists, but they don't seem.
Game of Thrones just as much as anybody else.
Okay.
And you can't trust them as far as you can throw them, but you know they're not gonna. You know, Joffrey's not gonna walk out of. You know, Loras Tyrell is not gonna become a Joffrey next season. That's not what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought they would be as good as the Starks, but it just seems like if the Starks die, then they would be the next likable family, the next likable house. Because Stannis just does nothing for me. And I guess we can talk about Dany if we want. But Dany,
you're not a fan of the Ironborn?
They're barely in the show, though. Like, the Greyjoys hardly count to me. Like, they were only one episode this season. And his sister was Balin, or is his name Balin?
Balin's the dad, yeah.
But he's interesting. I liked him in season two, but I'm not going to root for him. His sister is But I wouldn't mind more Greyjoy scenes. Like, maybe they should have shown that instead of Theon getting tortured. Or Sam, who I don't like. I think Sam, I still think Sam and John are just completely waste of time. They feel like filler content.
I agree completely.
Yeah. I don't.
And you read the books, and you think that.
The characters I loved in the first several books, by the end of the fifth book, several of them have just the most dull stories, and it's just heartbreaking. And I hope they fix it for the show, because it could be a long, long couple seasons.
So, I mean, just to continue that thought, would you agree? It seemed like the overall sentiment that I've read is that the last two books aren't as good as the other ones. It goes downhill quite a bit. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree to a point. Certain storylines, certain characters have phenomenal storylines, and I think are really interesting. And they introduce some interesting new people that we'll definitely see next season. Mm. So that's fun. But, you know, some fan favorite stories really just go horribly wrong.
Okay. So, but you think is that something that could be fixed on a TV if they recognize that? Like, they can, like, reduce in that storyline and increase the time of other ones? Do you think that could be
fixed? I mean, you know, if, you know, there's character X who's, you know, badass and doing great things, and he spends an entire book just kind of sulking and sitting and not taking any action until the last, like, 100 pages. And if they can find a way to maybe write that character off for a while and only do the important parts of the story or even add some stuff, I wouldn't mind seeing some of the storylines spiced up a bit.
Okay. I mean, that's good. Because I'll just this person be a hyperbolic, but I think they said something along the lines of, like, the last two books are equivalent to this Star Wars prequel.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
There's some twists, there's some turns, and I mean, there's some characters who do some really great stuff, and it's really interesting for them.
Mm-hmm.
But and I like, you know, several of the new characters they introduce are really intriguing, and I'd love to see them on the show.
So what I find interesting is that there's three families right now that I see that have interesting power. So, like, Bran suddenly has this new power. Mm. And then there's the Red Woman. And then Thoros. Huh?
And Thoros and Myr, same kind of setup. Yeah.
And then, you know, Dany has her dragons. So it makes you wonder how, what they're setting up with this magic and sort of fantasy stuff that the other families don't have. The Lannisters just have money. You know, some of these other people don't have something special like that. So it makes you wonder how much that's going to push them to the top, if at all, how much that's going to factor into their stories, if at all.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I mean, the Red Woman doesn't seem that powerful. Like, it seems like she has blood leeches and she can kind of see into fire. It's not like, you know, she's not Gandalf or anything.
She can sure bang dudes.
But yeah. She's not Thoros, too. She can't bring people back from the dead.
Right.
Yeah. And the dragons are cool, but, like, that's if, and I have no idea of what's going to happen with the dragons, but that's if they, you know, grow old and get bigger. Like, right now, they're just, you know, flying cats.
They're cute little baby dragons.
They're flying cats that can spit fire at the moment. They're not, you know, the size of a, you know, 18-wheeler.
No, but that's why she's building her army. She's really building her army, and then she'll have that. And the only thing that kills the White Walkers is dragons. So how is that?
Well, fire.
Does fire kill?
And yeah, dragon glass.
It's fire and dragon glass.
Yeah, well, I thought dragon glass came from dragons.
I don't think so.
That's why
I'm
not
sure what
okay.
it comes from, actually.
Okay.
I thought it was like metal melted by fire or something. Like a certain type of metal melted by fire. That's why I kind of assumed.
I see. I thought it was something that came from a dragon. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Well, from dragon fire is what. Yeah. But, I mean, all right, before we go to Dany, do we want to talk about how lame John and Sam are?
Well, it's like their stories haven't done much. I mean, I think Sam is sweet and kind, and I enjoy that he's that sweet and kind, but I'm not sure what it matters. And John starting to get interesting once he started getting laid, and then now she's pissed her off. So
he
I'm
got a pretty little cock.
Yeah, and he was good with his tongue apparently, but I'm not going to be hearing about that anymore. So, you know, I don't know, but yeah, you kind of wonder that Jon Snow story especially.
I'm trying to think of what he's done, though. Like, he went to the wall, he walked beyond the wall, he got lost, he fought an old guy, then he walked back from the wall.
You don't know what the wildlings are doing?
Yeah, he banged some ginger.
A wilding.
He climbed the wall and he got shot with some arrows. Like, he hasn't done shit. Like, he hasn't
The thing he has done is he knows the wildlings are advancing on the wall.
But it's like 12 of them going against a guy in a castle. Like...
You'd be surprised how big the Wildling army is and how few knights watch there are left. So
they've done a bad job showing that then. Cause like even when they were running towards the horses, it's like, where the hell did all these people come from? Like, it was just like 8 of you tops. Now it's like a dozen and a half.
There were like 5 of them climbing the wall and like 3 fell off. And now there's like 16 of them behind the wall all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that what would happen is that John would decide, you know, he would find out that Rob was dead. That was going to piss him off. Maybe somehow get it so that the wildlings would join him and help take on, you know, these other, you know, the Lannisters and everybody else.
I would love that for that to happen so John could actually do something. But yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. I think even when Ned died, I think they teased that a little bit. And I think the same thing is going to happen with Rob. I think they're going to like tease it, and then Rob and John is just going to continue to be boring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so, and that's a shame because you know they could. I feel like something cool could have been done there. He could have had Ygritte be his, you know, wife and queen or whatever, and just rule it. Get Bran to help him, and
I wouldn't want her crazy ass to be my queen.
So yeah, so,
actually, Donna, since you love him so much, I'm curious, what did you think of that scene? Or were you cursing her out, or yeah, where she was coming from?
No, see, okay, let's get this straight. The character of Jon Snow really seems rather unsubstantial. I like the way the actor looks. Okay,
so what did you think when the Hulk was going at his face?
I thought, don't tear up that beautiful face.
I thought he was going to lose an eye or something. I thought it was going to be.
I did too.
I thought it was going to end up worse than that.
Yeah, I thought he was going to lose an eye too. I thought, oh no, he's going to have an eye patch. But no, I knew that the second that the second you saw her there, I'm like, oh, dude, you're in trouble. I knew he was going to pay for that.
I thought she might shoot at him or shoot him once, like, you know, like in the arm or you know, somewhere non-vital. But she just kept going. Like, it seemed like she didn't really want to do it, but was just doing it. It seemed like she didn't necessarily want to kill him, but she still almost killed him.
She definitely wanted him to feel the pain that she was
in. Yes, yeah. She was just getting back. She was heartbroken.
And even that decision, I thought was bad writing too. Like him just leaving her. How did he know that they weren't going to kill her when he went running? Cause like yeah, she was about to fight, you know, with John.
Yes.
Against them. Yeah. And then he pushes her and gets on the horse and goes away. I was laughing during that scene.
I know.
And then she gets up like, what the fuck? I was about to help you fight these assholes. He left me with them. Like, John was a asshole during that scene. Like, it doesn't... That was badly written. Or at least badly... I don't get what he was thinking. I do know book readers who do like him often say he has a lot of inner monologues and it doesn't come across on the TV show since they don't have...
He's still boring in the book.
Okay. But yeah, it's... Yeah. At least maybe you know what he's thinking in a book.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he's thinking anything
in the TV show. He seems like he doesn't have a thought in the world.
I think part of that's the acting. I'm not convinced Kit Harington's the greatest of actors. So I don't think it just comes across. It comes across pretty blank all the time.
Yeah.
You're insulting your boy.
No, I don't.
He's pretty. He's very pretty.
I like the way he looks. That's all.
Even the guys that get a pretty face. Yeah, you like him because his pretty face.
Got a great face.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do like Sam, but just like, why do I have to watch this? Like, you're not every other main character is in one of the noble houses and they affect the overall war, but Sam is like the one exception. I don't get why we have to see him at all. And then John, at least he is a Stark, and at least the White Walker threat is supposed to be like the major thing. So it doesn't seem like we need both of them. Like, we just need one or the other.
Well, if I'm doing it for reasons because I'm a red-blooded woman, then I'd say keep John because I like to ogle him. But as far as...
But Sam is a wizard.
Sam's sweeter, you know, he's a nice
Sam guy. Sam reads books, Sam's educated. Yeah. Sam's the kind of guy who might figure out, you know, something that might help them down the line by reading some old book that rest of the Night's Watcher.
Anything John can do, someone else can do. Like, he doesn't seem really stupid, but he doesn't seem that smart. He seemed like a good fighter, but I doubt he was like on Jamie's level or anything. Like, I don't know. He seems good, but how is he not that good since he's left his ginger girlfriend to die, kind of? So, I mean, anything he does, an average person can do just as well.
Yeah. But he is a natural at using his tongue, apparently.
How many dreams?
See what I hyper focus on?
How many dreams did you have about him since then?
None. Well, hey, goddammit.
Apparently, Podrick's just as amazing in bed as John is.
Yeah. Cool. I thought Tyrion paid for them to do that.
Yeah.
At first. But it seems like it's apparently
true. every time Podrick shows up in a scene, there's like women laughing after him the whole time. So I don't know.
Yeah, he was like, Tyrion's like, come on, you got to tell me all about this. So, that's funny.
Yeah. I mean,
he's
I guess.
As cute as Jon.
I guess we could talk about Dany now.
Oh, okay.
But, Dany.
I like her. I do like her.
I don't dislike her. Is that I think the main reason Rob was one of my favorite characters and Dany, I'm just indifferent to. It's like Rob won his victories. Like, he came up with the plans. He, you know, he's the one that sent with like 5,000 guys one way and 15 the other way and got Jamie, and like, he thought all of that. With Dany, she, you know, she's freaking sitting in a bathtub. Like, she's not doing any of this. Like, she isn't coming up with the plan. She just says, let's conquer the city. And then Jorah and the whatever pretty model novel guy.
Dario,
yeah. They're the ones in Grey Worm are doing all the work. Like, she's literally just sitting back and giving orders. Like, I think overall, she just got lucky. Like, she got lucky that the stones turned into dragons. She got lucky that Dario didn't kill her and, you know, joined her.
It's all because they want to bang her.
The dragons?
No. Dario.
I know.
Jorah. Oh, poor Jorah. He's just so in love with her, and he's not even looking at him.
No. So it's just that they'll do what they want they'll do what she wants them to do. They'll do her bidding for her because
they want to. I don't think that's why.
Well, that's part of it.
What's the older Kingsguard guy?
Sir Barristan.
Barristan, yeah, I don't think he wants to bang her at all.
No,
he
I don't think he does.
That's just his honor.
He's like a father kind of thing to her.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's just what bugs me about it, especially with that lame, cheesy ending. They should really be picking up, you know, Grey Worm and the rest of them who actually did something, not Danny, who just said a couple sentences and then sat back. And even Tywin. Like, Tywin orchestrated his own victory by using the phrase in Bolton. Like, it doesn't... I'm not saying someone has to pick up a sword and do it, but at least come up with a master plan. You know, and Rob fought his own battles. Tywin came up with his own plans.
But she's just building now, too, though.
Well, the worrisome thing about Dany, too, is that, yeah, she's building an army, but she's also freeing a bunch of slaves who don't fight and who are mouths to feed, and she doesn't have a source of food or money, and I'm worried it's going to kind of crash in on her, and she's going to have a bunch of strays and not really know what to do with them.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I mean, to go back to Spartacus, like, Spartacus did that, you know, because he was a slave and he wanted to freedom, not necessarily because he wanted a bigger army. And I'm talking about
the show. He got lucky, too. He managed to, yeah, in the show, I mean, he got lucky. He took over cities and managed to get the food and all that.
Yeah. I mean, she should be able to get the food, too, though. Like, it's not like they're burning the cities down.
It's a matter of, you know, when she runs into a city she can't take, what's going to happen? And is there a city that could possibly pose a threat to her that she just is going to think she can take? She's taken all of them before. So that's what worries me about Dany. And she's not focusing on getting back to Westeros and, you know, getting over and taking over King's Landing. It's about, let's free everybody and, you know, get a whole group together and let's all be happy.
Well, I mean, I do assume she is doing it, well, mainly to free people and, you know, be anti-slavery, but also to gain somewhat of an army. Like, those men can, some of those men can fight, and some, or they can be some use to her. Or she can, you know, loot the city and buy ships or whatever with that. I mean, she is getting, like, some,
oh, yeah,
just using common sense wise, she is using some positive, she is getting some positive gain out of conquering these cities.
Oh yeah, I mean she's freeing slaves, and they're going to do whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be forever loyal to her because of it. So
yeah, and something that bothered me and is a touchy subject, and some people might think I'm crazy, but one of the things I didn't like about that last scene, we always see white people,
mm-hmm,
on this TV show, and of course. And the only that we don't see is if they're Dothraki savages, mm-hmm, or if they're slaves. Like,
right.
Or if they're pirates.
A pirate who wants to rape Cersei. Like, that's the only time we see non-white people. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she opened the gate, you just see, like, you know, Indians and Ethiopians and, you know, just other brown and black people. And like, I've never seen so much color on Game of Thrones. And of course, they're all slaves. And then people can say, oh my God, they're in a desert climate or blah, 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 whatever. Fuck that. Like, if they want everyone to be white, make them all white. Or they want to say all the black people are in the Essos or Summer Isles or whatever. Then, you know, it's just annoying that 99% of everyone is white. But if you see a brown or black person, then they're a slave or savage.
Right. But would that be indicative of the time?
But what time? It's not real.
Well, I know it's not real, but it takes place. It's in a fictional time. It's right around the Renaissance time, or so.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I'm just saying that, like you say that in video games, that you don't like it when it's the 1940s and there's African Americans walking down the street and people are like, "Oh, hello, sir," and they're respectful, because that would never happen. So
yeah, but this isn't
maybe
real.
But maybe, you know, in his, if he wants to keep to any sort of historical accuracy in any way, would that be?
No, I don't think so. Because everybody was a slave at one point. Like, the Roman had German slaves and you know, Danish slaves and all the other white people as slaves. It's not like, you know, Egyptians had Hebrews. It's not like, you know, brown people have been the only slaves going, looking at real world.
Well,
history.
I know that, but I'm just asking.
I'm just saying, so it seemed like, Gene, it seemed like that might have crossed your mind. It seems like it crossed down.
It definitely crossed my mind. I, you know, the fact that there's this, you know, blonde hair, white girl in the middle.
Yeah, and they said Master.
It just.
Master. I was like, God damn. I know they weren't actually saying it, but like, God damn. She's slave surfing on all these brown people. And she's like this lily white, super blonde chick. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was just like this whole great white hope thing that bothered me. And it was, yeah, I mean, it, even that music, it's like this, none of that felt like it was from a different TV show. That felt like it was from something from like the Thin Red Line. Like that didn't feel like it was from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I agree.
Donna, you disagree?
Indifferent.
Donna said, I'm not touching it.
Well, I mean, it's not that I'm not touching it. It's just, you know, I'm just throwing alternative ideas out there. So,
and then I'm just, you know, there's a family we might be introduced to next season who has been interpreted as more of a kind of an ethnic group from Westeros. Oh, yeah. So there might be a little bit of color coming depending on how they cast it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hope I'm assuming you're talking about the Matrols or Matrols or what are they called?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a book spoiler?
No, this is the name of the house. They've said their name before.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just announced the cast. They put out a casting notice for one of the characters too. So.
Oh, did they?
It's pretty much. Yeah.
It seems like they would be. From what I read about them, I get like a Spanish or even though it's white or Indian.
Yeah, some sort of Indian-esque kind of vibe to them.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, I don't want to turn this into a race podcast. Oh, like, no. Would it have killed them to make like the Tyrells, you know,
mix them up,
or even, and I'm bad with accents, but everyone is British. Like 80% of everyone is British. Like I know Kat's actress is Irish, like in real life, but mm-hmm. on the TV show, is she trying to be British?
I think. I mean, I know Sean Bean is Irish, I think, as well. So they're kind of. I think he's Northern Irish, maybe.
Rob is Scottish. Like, is sound? I can't tell if they're trying to sound British or not.
I think they're all trying to set like certain dialects for the area. Maybe I just know that Tyrion's accent is just so not close to British that it's kind of funny. But
yeah, and Littlefinger is he's not trying to do one.
He's Scottish, I think.
He's Irish in real life.
He's Irish? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just so used to him on The Wire without the accent. Hearing the Baltimore accent instead, that's a bit jarring to hear him with the actual accent.
Yeah. But yeah, we're talking about accents right now. That's crazy. But is there any other like highlights or anything that rubs you the wrong way?
I mean, I had a small little bone to pick with the Red Wedding, but other than that, it was the big thing when Roose Bolton stabs Rob in the book, he says Jaime Lannister sends regards, and that ties later to something that happens later on in the series, and it kind of miffed me a bit that it was just Lannisters. So
I think that kind of Lannisters makes more sense though, because like why would he say Jaime?
Well, Jamie, before he left, Harrenhal had said, "Be sure to give my regards to Robb Stark on the wedding of his uncle."
Oh, well, yeah, he did say that.
Yeah. And I mean, assuming they go on the book path, it'll become a little more obvious why it might have been better to have that be said than something else.
Mm-hmm.
There's fun, crazy things coming.
But I'm kind of glad they done this in the past seasons. Like episode 9 is the climax, and 10 is more of a like epilogue. And I'm glad they did that, especially
kind of
this season.
The chessboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, But because, like, if they would have ended at the Red Wedding, I would have been like, oh my God, what's happening next? What's happening next? But with, you know, Danny slave surfing, it was just more like, it's just like, okay, whatever. I'm about to go. I got Madman and Breaking Bad. I'll be fine until March. So I'm kind of glad they went out on a whimper instead of a bang.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They went out pretty mellow. A lot of people were disappointed.
I was kind of disappointed. I had kind of had some ideas of what I wanted to see as like kind of a final iconic image that would kind of spark people back up and make them think, oh, there's hope after the Red Wedding. But it kind of, I guess they're saving that for next
year. I mean, they did show hope. They showed so much hope it turned into cheese. Like, is it making Danny, you know, the hero? Which, I mean, there's another reason I felt like it was from another TV show. Like, yeah. Them, you know, almost like deifying her so much.
Well, I might deify someone if they freed me from slavery, though.
It's just the way it was filmed, the music. It reminded me of that. I forgot. I don't think I've ever known the name of the movie, but like that swimming dancing thing from like 1940s Hollywood. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like when the women were.
Berkeley musical or something.
Yeah, like when they had like the musical scene in the pool and like the women are making shapes and stuff. Like it almost reminded me of that.
Ethel Merman, yeah.
Yeah, this Danny scene reminded me of that. I was like, what is happening right now? It was just
the end of Game of Thrones reminded.
Yeah, I thought that you'd break it to a musical. I was like, she's like looking up at the sky into the camera.
They should have ended it more like Ran walking through the wall or something that just, you know, was kind of not, let's celebrate slavery and races and all that. Let's throw Danny up in the air and all that.
Yeah, I mean, and she wasn't in the episode until that was like her one scene. And I mean, even go back to the Red Wedding episode, I felt like they squeezed her in. Like, it, she felt a bit off being in the reigns of Castamere when they, like, take the city. Like, that was a cool fight. Probably one of the coolest fights they had. But, like, her storyline being in that episode felt like, you know, get out of the way. Let's go back to the Starks.
And then taking the city in the book is a really epic, big moment for her. And it kind of felt like it was just kind of shoved into a corner where it's pretty anticlimactic. It just came back and they're like, hey, we did it. And it just didn't feel like what it should have felt like.
I thought the love triangle they're setting up took more precedence than her taking the city. Like, I thought it was more about the look on his face when she asked about what's his name than them actually taking the city.
Jorah's facial expressions are priceless.
So is. So overall, did you guys like the season, or did you like season 2 or 1 better?
I liked all the seasons. It's hard to say. I mean, I feel like season 2 they crammed too much in, because it's not that I don't understand the story. I get the story. It's just that season 2 threw so many new characters at me. At once, I was like, okay, I've got to sort all this shit through. And so I kind of had to catch up with that. So I feel like they put too much there, but I'm almost wondering if they slowed it down too much for season 3, because I felt like there were some episodes that really stood out, but there's a lot of just getting things set up.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really feel that way until the bear episode, which I think is the only episode this season that Martin himself wrote. Like, I thought that was kind of a low point, at least for the season.
Like the bear scene.
Well, talking about that entire episode.
Yeah.
Like that felt, because, you know, it was a lot of snow and ginger scenes, and it was just a really slow. It was like a lot of Sansa and Tyrion, like romantic comedy stuff going on. It's just. But, like, I think that was the only episode that if I was rewatching the series, I might want to skip that one. But I liked all the other episodes this season.
Mm-hmm. How about Joffrey saying he was going to serve Rob's head at his wedding to friggin' Sansa? I'm like, dude, I mean, every time I think he's awful, he does something that makes me think he's even worse.
And the whole, like, have you killed any, did you kill some puppies today line?
Wasn't that great? Yeah.
That guy, Joffrey, is obviously very evil and stuff, but like, that actor, I like that actor. Like, him nailing that, like, giddiness could have been, like, really corny. But if he seems like some, like, little kid who's you know, getting happy over something creepy as hell. Like,
yeah, he's like those, when serial killers are kids, they, like, kill puppies and shit. Yeah, he's a psychopath. And he is a good actor.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be a good actor to make someone hate you so convincingly. Mm-hmm.
And Tywin shutting him down.
Oh, yeah. So great. So great.
Yeah, I kind of wish, like, Tyrion and Tywin can get along, because, like, in a lot of ways, they're similar. But, I mean, just because Tyrion, quote-unquote, killed his mom, and because he's a little person, like, Tywin was never going to like him. So, but, I mean, if it wasn't for that, I think he would, you know, I think that would be his favorite child. And, I mean, I was actually looking back at certain seasons, season one, I was just thinking Tywin's always a dick to his kids, but that's Tywin and Jaime scene, like when Tywin's like gutting a deer, and so I think it's like maybe the first time we ever see Tywin. Like, that was a really good scene. Like, he's not being an asshole. He's being tough, but he's not being like an asshole to Jaime. He's like telling him he needs to be the man he can be, and stuff like that.
Imagine how angry Tywin's gonna be when he sees what happened to Jaime. And how
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I wish. I think they either should have left Jaime going through the front gate and that's it, or they should have shown everyone's reaction. Like, just jumping from him going through the front gate to Cersei felt too rushed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's a big deviation from the book as well. Jaime doesn't arrive in King's Landing for chapters and chapters from that point. So if they were going to bring him there, I thought they should have used him better to set up what he's going to do next season.
So I guess Tywin isn't going to be... I mean, it's not his fault.
He's not going to be happy he's got a lame son now.
Yeah, he's got like another... he's going to say he's got another gimp or whatever.
Yeah, he's not going to be pleased, I don't think.
Yeah. But did some people say like they saw disgust in Cersei's face. Would you guys agree with that?
I think there were several layers of what she was showing. I think she had the happiness and then realized that he's not who he used to be.
Yeah, maybe he should have lowered his hand. Maybe he shouldn't put it right next to his face. Like, like maybe he should wear like a really long sleeve, not, you know, tied around his neck. It's like right next to his ear. Like, why would you have your stub right next to your ear?
I think it's perhaps still for a medical purpose, or no?
Yeah, I think it's probably throbbing if he takes a bullet to his heart, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Probably has a little healing to do still, but...
You should just hang out with Brienne. She loves him just the way he is.
Oh, really?
Compared to what Cersei's looking like.
I would say Cersei had several emotions and things going through her brain at that moment. But
I want to see how she reacts to Brienne. Like, I can see her just like kill her.
Brienne will kill her.
I think Cersei would want her dead. I think since she doesn't want a man that close to Jaime. I mean, a woman, that close to Jaime.
Well, the problem with Brienne too is that she's part of the Starks. She's fighting for the Starks, and now she's in enemy territory. And her goal was to get Sansa away, and that's clearly not going to happen.
Yeah, she's got nowhere to go.
She could be in trouble, stuck with all the Lannisters in King's Landing.
Yeah. I mean, and another thing, Jaime kind of has to tell them that, though, right? It's not like she has a Stark tattoo on her forehead. Like, either she has to say it, or he has to say it.
True.
And there's no point. There's really no point her saying it.
Not to them.
Oh, what was
I think
that?
Bruce Bolton's probably mentioned it, that, hey, Brienne's got your son, and if you find her, you'll find him.
Well, yeah. I don't think Jaime will obviously try his best for her not to get hurt or punished.
Yeah. So now, I wonder how, I just think Tyrion's so awesome, you know? And I almost wonder if at some point Sansa isn't going to just come around to him and fall in love with him.
I mean, they were joking last episode.
Yeah, they were.
But now she might.
He's going to be kind to her. He's going to be good to her.
Yeah. But, I mean, now they might be back. Well, she might be back hating him. I don't know. I'm not sure how much she blames him. But if she pays attention at all, I think she would know that he didn't know. But I don't know how smart Sansa is or isn't.
I bet she'll know. She might react emotionally at first, but eventually she'll figure it out, I think.
Yeah. Does anyone find Shay annoying?
I find Shay incredibly annoying in the books. She's so much more palatable on the show. It's amazing.
Huh. Mm. And I like Shay, but yeah, the episode where she finds out that he's going to marry Sansa, it's like, seriously, you don't know that this is kind of what has to happen?
Yeah. I mean, it's really that scene. Like when she was saying, like, I'm just your whore, and he's promising her all
and
this
you fuck
stuff.
Her.
Yeah.
I was really hoping she'd take Varys up on his offer and just, you know, go start a nice life somewhere, be happy, not have to deal with the craziness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise, I do like her. I thought she was a good character, you know, but yeah. And then she checked the sheets right away, and now she's like, oh, okay. Who knows? I'm not surprised she decided to stay, but I thought that was an interesting proposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go rich somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, since we're winding down, I'm trying to think of, like, is anything we missed or anything you guys want to bring up?
Not that I can think of offhand.
Mm-hmm.
Same with me.
Okay. And once again, you can be vague, Jeannie, but I am kind of wondering if the White Walkers ever become a real threat. Because right now, they just more or less feel like a plot device. Like, they kind of show up in season finales and season.
Exactly.
Like, they're just, you know, it's time to be scared. Like, it doesn't feel like they're an actual part of this world. It almost feels like they're a fantasy trope.
You know, my standard line when people ask me about stuff like that is, at the end of book 5, Winter still hasn't actually shown up.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I knew that. And when I first read that, I was like, what the hell? The Starks need to change their fucking motto because Winter is not coming.
Definitely not coming. But, I mean, the Walkers do show up again in future moments, but I wouldn't think of them as a huge threat at the moment. There's more immediate threats to characters than the White Walkers right now.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And we don't even know anything about them yet either. We don't even know if they're necessarily, I mean, what motivates them. If anything motivates them.
Yeah. I mean, at least with zombies, they want to eat. It seems like these are basically Viking zombies, but they don't, it doesn't seem like they eat people.
No. She wanted that bait. The one wanted the baby, though, right?
Yeah.
They eat baby eaters? No, I'm kidding.
I don't think they eat the babies.
I'm kidding. Get in my belly. Do like a fat bastard. I'm going to eat you.
His name is Sam, Donna.
His name is Sam, I know.
It's true.
So, no, I don't have anything else to add, really.
Okay.
I don't trust the red woman as far as I can fucking throw her, but...
Yeah. No, I mean, I do think... kind of like Tywin, like, I do think... I don't think she's, like, evil and, like, wants to see people die, but it's just, I think she's willing to go to any level to get what she needs done.
She genuinely
believes in her religion. That's a scary thing. She genuinely believes she's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just very calculating, and she's very shrewd, and she's going to follow her faith, and yeah.
I think they need to do a better job with Stannis. Like, even I think they do a good job with Davos, but I think everyone else kind of sucks in the Stannis storyline.
Yeah, and also, one last thing. By the way, now that we're talking about them again, how is this little girl with the face thing? What
lizard
that
face?
Just showed up? So that's got to play.
What's his daughter? She's got this thing called grayscale, which turns your skin gray. And it's can be a deadly disease, depending on how it's treated. And it'll pop up in the future. It'll be something that comes up for other characters.
Yeah, I figured that had to mean something, because she wasn't there before. Then suddenly, oh, this is new.
So. Yeah, I thought they were writing her out completely, because they kind of wrote out his wife a lot. I figured they wouldn't mess with his daughter at all and just leave her out, but apparently she's there to humanize Davos a bit, teach him to read.
It kind of sucks that she's just locked up as a prisoner just because I'm guessing they're embarrassed about her face.
Yeah, yeah.
So once again, Stannis is an asshole.
He's a dick.
But it seems like more his wife. I'm not sure. It seems like it might be more his wife, though.
His wife's kind of nuts.
Yeah, because when she said, I didn't give you any kids, and then he like reminds her about the daughter. It seems like she doesn't count her as a real child.
Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty jacked up, man.
you're maybe a dwarf, she'll take over the kingdom someday.
Right. Yeah, really.
Yeah, I mean, well, speaking of little girls, what about Arya? Like, what did you guys think of the killing scene?
I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like Arya. I think Arya has way more tenacity in her pinky than Dany does in her whole body. Like, I think Arya is way cooler and badass.
You just so are not into Dany, though. It's been so clear. I mean, every time we ever talk about it, it's like, she just annoys me. She just annoys me. She's a brat. She's like, you don't like Dany.
Yeah, I don't like Stannis either. There's a few characters I don't like, because you got to earn it. And, like, I mean, yeah. It's just like, Dany hasn't earned it.
Maybe you don't have to earn it if you
can. Arya's pretty badass, though.
Yeah.
She is badass.
Like, I even like her doing it. Like, it's like, I'm fed up. I'm tired of watching my family die. It's time for me to start killing you guys. And I read online that was a Frey that she killed. It wasn't just like some random guy.
There's like 1,000 Freys.
Okay. So, are the Freys incest too?
No, he just goes through a lot of wives.
Okay, they're just gross.
So he's got tons of kids.
Right.
Okay. Does anyone here watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Okay. The Freys remind me of those slimy people from Always Sunny. I forgot their names. The one who wear the robes and stuff. Like, whenever I see the Freys, I just think of them.
Wow.
Pretty accurate.
But yeah, I hope Arya becomes a badass.
And when she pulled out the coin from Jaqen, or whatever his name is, she's contemplating trying to go his path. It could get interesting.
Yeah, and her and the Hound together are cool.
Her and the Hound are awesome. They're hysterical.
Yeah.
This need to roam the countryside just killing fools.
It's like, if you're going to do something like that, you got to tell me. Yeah. Tell me first.
I think there might be some roaming in their future, so I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want too much Roman, because Bran and pretty much everyone has just been walking from place to place. Like, Arya's been trying to get home since episode 9, episode 10, season 1, and she still didn't get home. Like, she got halfway to home.
Yeah. So true. A lot of people wandering around.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is there, before this comes back, I'm assuming March 2014, do you guys have like a top show that you are looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to the end of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, definitely.
Just Homeland and...
Buh.
Yeah, just, I don't have a lot of these shows that I watch, so definitely Homeland, though. Looking forward to that one.
And Walking Dead, too, to kind of see what happens with the governor hanging out in the wilderness.
The Walking Dead. Oh, my God. The Walking Dead is an abusive relationship. I keep getting black eyes. Like, I keep going back. Like, it's so disappointing.
When I left for good.
I think Tyrese is going to stick around for a while.
What was that?
I think Tyrese will stick around for a while, at least, so.
Well, I didn't say black guys. I said black eyes.
Oh, okay.
Black eyes.
Yeah, black eyes.
But yeah, they are coming up with black guys in the show pretty fast.
I said nothing about black men, though. But yeah, I mean, if it's like you punched in the face as in a black eye, because it disappoints me. It's a roller coaster in a very bad way. It's a roller coaster as it goes up in quality and down in quality very quickly.
Yeah, I told you, I left for good. I'm not being abused anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
I left when that little girl was lost and
God damn it,
never came back.
She said, "I'm done with this show." Even the little girl didn't come back to
her. Right.
Yeah.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna start reading the first book, the Game of Thrones books, and then I'll probably rewatch from the season, you know, the seasons, just to keep everything fresh and all that. But I do, we have the first book, A Song of Ice and Fire.
I have that too. I got it like 6 months ago. I still haven't read one page from it though.
My husband got it a while ago, so I'm going to read it.
Yeah. Actually something I thought of, we can go out on this, so we're not a 3-hour podcast. Gene, what do you think of the idea of maybe doing, it sounds like you watch Spartacus, so I'm not sure why I keep bringing up Spartacus for this podcast, but what do you think of the idea of a prequel season, if Martin can't finish the books, or they need, you know, if Martin needs more time?
He's definitely going to need more time. That's going to be an issue. But I like the idea of a prequel. My only worry is with the size of a cast they have, keeping everybody under contract for that interim year is going to be really hard to do, particularly with some of the younger actors. I mean, Bran is going to, you know, have a 5 o'clock shadow by the fifth season, and it's going to be 6'8", and it's going to become a problem. So I think they need to get it done as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but I would like to see, or maybe even after this series is over, like once this story is over, like if they went back for a season, like it would just be interesting to see like the Mad King and
the Stark
father and Ned's brother die, like all of that would be really interesting. Or baby Dany.
My only worry about it is there are things. I'm trying to put this as delicately as possible. There are things that would be revealed in a prequel that impact things that people who haven't read the 5 books don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And it would definitely be major spoilers for big stories coming up.
I know what you're talking about. But isn't that just a theory?
Not that theory.
Oh, okay.
There's certain things that will be revealed in book one of the books. I don't know. So maybe next season after that, that would be given away if they did a prequel.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I do think that's a viable plan if Martin does need another year or two, like that, like we're going to have a prequel season or maybe two prequel seasons or whatever. Even though I would rather, you know, them go the traditional route. But I did think, like, would that be too expensive? But really, I mean, it would still be set in King's Landing. It would still be set in Winterfell. Like, it would be new actors, but it would be basically the same sets.
Yeah, from a set value, I think it'd be fine. But in terms of having, you know, your 28 main cast members kept under contract so they wouldn't take other jobs and be available when we finally came back to the Game of Thrones story, that's what worries me. You know.
Well, yeah, actor salary would be the main thing. Or HBO might have to pay them for that year off, like as a retainer or something.
Several of them are getting movie careers and all that, so the draw of the movies might be too much to keep them.
Yeah, I did say that would be the last name, but now you have me curious. Is there any actor that springs to your mind that you would like love to see them have a big movie career, like after this is over or maybe during this?
I think Nicolas Coster-Waldau, who's Jamie. I think he's incredibly
talented.
That's
how you say his name.
Yeah,
I think that's how it is. I think he's poised for something.
Yeah. I think, because he he has, I'm not sure, I know Don didn't watch Lost, but he has that Sawyer vibe to me.
Like Josh Holloway.
Yeah. And I really like that vibe. Like, he can be a good guy, a bad guy, in between. He could, you know, he could be Han Solo if you want.
Easily
be Han Solo. I think Tyrion. Yes, sorry.
Tyrion's already got an Oscar nomination. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's in the next X-Men movie. But
true. And he's in Anchorman maybe too. Next one.
Yeah.
I don't think he's in Anchorman. Work. I do know that picture of him from X-Men looks like he's from X-Men. Yeah, because he's in the 70s part of the X-Men story. So he does look like he's from Anchorman in that picture. But I don't think he's in the actual Anchorman. But yeah, those three. Even though Rob is kind of, you know, from a look standpoint, could be kind of bland. But I do think he has a certain charisma to him.
Oh, he's already got a new TV show, too. So he's not doing too bad. Yeah.
I know he's good to be in Cinderella as Prince Charming.
I think I picked up for, I don't know if it's a British show or if it's something else. But I think this fall.
A British show doesn't count. Because they're going to... They're gonna kill him by season two if it's a British show. I'm not sure if Donna watches British shows, but they always kill people off like season two, season three.
Oh yeah, like crazy.
But yeah, anyone from you, Donna?
No.
We don't think any of the women can have big careers.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, the woman who plays Cersei has a lot of things going.
Well, yeah. She's always
in stuff. So, her...
I can see maybe Dany.
Yeah.
It seems like she's more of the theater person. It's like she necessarily, at least the vibe I get from like panels and interviews, it seems like she's more of the type like, I'm going to Broadway, not necessarily
Hollywood. Did Broadway and she did poorly on it, so I'm not sure how much more Broadway she's going to get. But
well, I mean, I think that most of the cast is pretty talented, but I think when I look at outstanding performances, people who can, I think are, really standouts, I would say, yeah, Tyrion, maybe Joffrey.
I think he's too weird looking. Jaime. To be, at least in Hollywood stuff, I think he's too weird looking.
Well, I think it depends on what they do with him, but, and then probably, yeah, Cersei, but she's already got that stuff going. I'm trying to think of the women that I think that would really do super well, but I just don't know.
I think maybe Arya, when she grows up, might, if she stays with acting, she could do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how Brienne looks in real life, if she's that big.
She's a former model.
She's like 6'5".
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I think she has the talent, but I'm not sure. Her looks might get her in the way.
Well,
they did make her look worse than she really does.
Yeah.
I'm talking about just her stature, not really her face. Yeah. I'm just saying her stature.
Because I have a friend who, I mean, there are good and bad pictures of her out there, but but seriously though, when she looks good, she's beautiful.
If that wasn't a body double during that bathtub scene, then I'm all in. Because that was a nice ass. I'm pretty sure that was a body double.
But, yeah, I'm trying to find... I had a friend who was sending me some pictures. He's like, wow, I never would have thought. But I'm trying to think of... Trying to find the pictures that she... that he was sending me, but I gotta find her real name. It's Gwendolyn something.
Gwendolyn Christie.
Yes, thank you.
Well, actually, now we're thinking about women. Ashley Marjorie, good.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Yeah,
she's done quite a bit, and I mean, she did the Tudors, and
yeah, this is the only thing I've heard that I.
She was on Elementary. I don't know, my parents watch it, so they're all like,
CBS shows don't count as TV shows.
Yeah. I just put a picture in the Skype window of her, Vince.
Okay.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Okay, let me check this out. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, she is like 6'4", 6'5". She's really tall.
Mm.
6'3". She's 6'3". That's tall.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, she's good. I really like her. I like that character a lot.
Yeah. I was a cat, but I mean, obviously she's a bit older. But she can definitely act.
Oh, yeah. She can definitely act.
Pretty much everyone can, like you said, besides besides a certain Snow. That's a bit questionable.
Everyone understands that. The brooding type when you can't get in their heads, I guess.
No, I can think of some good brooding characters that I didn't question if they were a good actor or not. I was never watching Angel and thinking, man, this guy sucks.
So, anything else, or shall we wrap it up?
You can wrap it.
Okay, because I have so much work to do.
Yeah, I have E3 stuff to watch. So
I have E3 reports to do for work. So. Okay, well, thank you very much, Jean, for joining us.
Really fun.
Thanks. And you can find us at entertainmentfuse.com. On Facebook, you'll find us at facebook.com/entertainmentfuse. Twitter is twitter.com/entertainfuse. You can find me, Donna, at Frag Queen on Twitter, and everything else, I'm Evil Pixie Gurr with 3 R's. And Jean, it's up to you if you'd like to share ways that people can find you social media wise, and if you don't want to, that's fine.
My Twitter is Genius, Jeanius, is me.
Okay. And Facebook? Do you have Facebook?
My Facebook is private. So.
Okay. Gotcha.
Get out of business, Donna.
Jeez. No, I was just asking. So, okay. And that's it. And we will be back. I don't know when.
We should have an E3 podcast.
We should.
And then Last of Us spoiler cast after that, maybe.
I'm not busy enough this week, that's why.
Yeah.
I haven't played Last of Us yet because I don't have a PS yet.
It hasn't come out yet.
Oh, that's true. It comes out Tuesday, huh? Tomorrow?
I think it comes out Friday, actually.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
Let's talk about video games, though.
Thank you, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Did you try?